They haven't arrived yet. We are preparing with their planners the space in the south end of New Rochelle where they can set up their equipment and shop and then transport around the city to do the tasks that they're asked to do.
I learned that a friend whom I sat next to at a meeting of municipal leaders from across Massachusetts had tested positive.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode, we speak with Westchester County Executive George Latimer about the coronavirus outbreak centered in New Rochelle. First, the Division I men's basketball tournament is scheduled to return to Albany for the first time since 2003 next week, but the NCAA COVID-19 advisory panel is recommending against opening sporting events to the public. In a statement, the panel says it believes games can take place with only essential personnel and limited family attendance. The games in Albany next Thursday and Saturday are essentially sold out, but NCAA President Mark Emmert confirms the tournaments will proceed without the public. National Guard troops will be arriving in Westchester County soon to deal with the cluster of the new coronavirus. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state is sending the Guard to New Rochelle to clean public spaces and deliver food beginning Thursday. Schools, religious centers, and other facilities have been shuttered for 2 weeks in the containment area. Westchester County Executive George Latimer spoke with our Allison Dunn.
Well, the county is a principal player in that we have the Westchester County Department of Health as a partner with the State Department of Health in both administering the tests to determine whether someone has contracted the virus, also in doing the detective work for anybody that has been in contact with someone who has the virus to determine whether they need to have a voluntary, or as it's called, precautionary quarantine, or if they're in a mandatory quarantine, which is a person who has tested positive for the test. So the county health department is engaged in that very directly. We've made available for the National Guard that's coming down from the state the area of Glen Island to be able to queue up and do all the work they have to do to have the National Guard help food distribution and in the cleaning of the various major facilities that are within this corridor that's been designated for additional work. We also, on our own right, have started to postpone a number of different meetings and events that the county is sponsored in order to stay consistent with the idea that the only tool that's available to us right now is to try to keep people away from, you know, excessively large events, which will then therefore involve the passing of the virus. So we've had to postpone the Affordable Housing Expo for the weekend, our airport master plan public meeting, the Westchester Women's Conference that was scheduled for this Friday. And in doing that, we're doing that along with what local governments are doing as well to try to reduce the amount of social contact. This is a difficult thing to do, but you know, we're trying to do everything we can do practically within our authority. The authority to test is at the state level. The authority to share data is at the state level. And, of course, we all operate under the federal government, hoping that they will become more engaged in this process.
County Executive, do you agree with the governor's decision to implement that containment zone around New Rochelle?
You know, I can understand why the governor did it. In fact, he had heard recommendations from the CDC that was more severe to do something on a larger basis and a more intrusive basis. So I think he struck the right chord between shutting things down on a much more macro level and at least providing a breathing space. The way I view this is sort of the way you do when your phone is on the fridge and you turn it off and you turn it back on. It's called rebooting. That's what we're doing right now. We're trying to reboot in this target area with all of the major houses of worship, the country clubs, whatever other facilities are there that people gather at, to try to make sure there's deep cleaning done, that schools are out for this period of time, gives us a chance to ensure that there's no virus being tracked on surfaces, and then also to kind of, you know, push off some of the social contacts a little bit more. You know, we're in uncharted territory. There's no roadmap that tells us do this, do that. We haven't seen anything like this in our adult lifetime. And, of course, people who have questions or concerns, they're on social media, they're jumping, you know, miles ahead of where we are. So we find that we have to do everything we can think of just to, you know, try to be responsive.
I heard yesterday Assemblymember Amy Paulin, whose district includes New Rochelle, talking about she was briefed just very briefly ahead of the announcement and still had some questions about exactly what was closed and, you know, is everything shutting down, all businesses, restaurants. Do you have clarity about what's going on, and are you fielding a lot of questions from residents and such?
Well, we're certainly getting questions all the time. I mean, the basics of the situation is such. If you live inside this Target area, you can come and go as you please if you are not under voluntary or mandatory quarantine. And as I've just described, you're voluntarily quarantined if you've had potentially some exposure or contact with someone with the disease, and mandatory quarantine if you have contracted the disease and tested positive. If you do not fall into those categories, but you live in this neighborhood, this area, you can still come and go as you please. The businesses within this area are still open to operate. I made it a point last night of having dinner in one of the restaurants in that area, just to show that it's safe and secure. The businesses in that area are open, but the major houses of worship that have major facilities, Holy Trinity, Greek Orthodox Church has a huge catering hall. Bethel has a number of large group events at their various facility rooms. All of that is what is shut down, along with the schools. And not all the schools. It's Albert Leonard Middle School, Ward Elementary School, and New Rochelle High School. And then on the other side of the zone, it does include some Tuckahoe schools, which are three buildings, are shut down. And then it also affects the Twin Lakes horse facility, which is on county-owned property. So I think we have a working idea, Allison, of what this means. But basically, we're implementing it as we go along, and we're trying to be flexible. As realities change, we want to change with those realities because, you know, as I said, there's no roadmap that's accurate and absolute. It's reasonable people trying to make as intelligent a decision as we can make in a relatively stressful circumstance.
Certainly. And you mentioned the National Guard and Governor Cuomo yesterday mentioning that. Are they actually on the ground yet?
They haven't arrived yet. We are preparing with their planners the space in the south end of New Rochelle where they can set up their equipment and shop and then transport around the city to do the tasks that they're asked to do. But it's not as if you're going to see National Guard people with checkpoints in and out of an area. They're not there to drive the streets with weaponry on them as if they were dealing with civil unrest. They're there to be a sort of a humanitarian workforce to help us implement some of these things. And, of course, the cost factor matters because for the city of New Rochelle, the county of Westchester, and all of these other institutions, there's nothing budgeted that anticipated this. So having the National Guard come in and the cost of their labor is already picked up by the state, that is a great financial help to all of our entities.
No, I did have an economic question and not related to the National Guard, but are you told when they will start arriving? I'm sure you are told.
We expect them to be up and operative tomorrow. And they, if they're there sooner than that by later today, that would be good, but we expect them in and operating by tomorrow.
Is your head anywhere in the economy? Of course, you know, everyone's thinking, oh my goodness, businesses, restaurants, you know, tax dollars, all of that kind of stuff is going to be reduced. Are you already thinking with a strained budget as it is in Westchester, what this might mean economically, the whole situation?
Yeah, we haven't calculated it, but it's pretty obvious. We're running Department of Health people in overtime situations, multiple days of work. We've got costs for material that we've had to just pay for because you don't put a price tag on how much health you provide. You provide it open-endedly. We also are, you know, the money we're spending to do deep cleaning of facilities of our own, that money was not budgeted. And then you couple it with the fact that people are not spending money right now. The stock market closure is a negative. I think we're going to see a big hit to our budget. Now, the state has allocated $40 million for this purpose. Since we are, you know, the center of attention in New York State, we're hopeful that we'll be reimbursed for the cost we put out. The feds have put $8 billion out on the table. You know, hopefully they don't play politics with it and they give it where the need is greatest. Right now, this cluster in New Rochelle is arguably the greatest cluster of positive cases anywhere in the country. And so we hope that the money from those sources will help us out a little bit.
Sure. And I think I heard you say when you were appearing with Dr. Amler the other evening that as far as working from home, you were going to try to implement that policy in your office as much as you could, as much as was possible.
Right. There's certain positions and certain departments of county government that lend itself to that. If you work in the planning department, there's certain functions within the DPW that are administrative functions, human resources, some information technology positions lend themselves to working at home. Obviously, when you run a prison, people have to be front and center there. When you run a probation department, people have to be front and center there. Police department, front and center. So you don't have equal opportunity across the county government to commute from home, but we're certainly going to do what we can. And the people that don't have to go into work, not only will it be more convenient for them, it keeps them out of that additional, swirl of social contact that could expose them to the viruses. So we're happy if we can do that for as large a portion of our workforce as we can.
Anything else you wanted to mention, County Executive, that's important? Perhaps I was remiss in not asking.
No, I just think what's important to note is City of New Rochelle and the other environs, Tuckahoe and Eastchester, those of us in county government, those are partners of the state. This is one of those moments where you get tested, and you have to show that without all the rules of the road, you can rise to the occasion and show energy and diligence. And I think that's what I'm seeing in the workforce. You know, you can argue about whether you should have big government, small government, it's too big, it's too restrictive. But in moments like this, just like this, this is when you need government to function. And that's what we're trying to do, to make sure the government functions.
The vice president of the North Adams, Massachusetts City Council is quarantined after being tested for COVID-19 and developing mild symptoms on Tuesday. While Jason LaForest awaits the results of those tests, he'll remain at home until March 24th. He tells WAMC that members of his family have also been tested, and he must maintain a 6-foot distance from them while under quarantine. LaForest spoke with WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes about the circumstances that led to his possible exposure and what it's like to be caught up in the emerging story.
Late in the day on Monday, I learned that a friend whom I sat next to at a meeting of municipal leaders from across Massachusetts had tested positive for COVID-19. I had seen him last on the Wednesday prior. I felt completely fine over the weekend and on Monday. However, when I woke up Tuesday morning, I had mild flu-like symptoms.
So once you recognized those symptoms, what happened next?
I knew that, you know, some of the symptoms, although they were mild, were consistent with COVID-19. And as a nurse, I knew that I had a responsibility to report those to Mass Department of Public Health.
So once you reported those symptoms to the Mass Department of Public Health, what happened next?
Well, although my symptoms were mild because I'm a nurse, DPH thought that it was important that I be tested to determine whether or not I had COVID-19. Those results take at least 24, usually 36, even 48 hours to come back. They instructed me to quarantine myself for 14 days pending the results of those tests.
Have those results come back yet?
No, I'm still waiting on those results. So I am, I don't feel well, but I haven't had a fever. I do have mild symptoms, but I'm eager to learn whether those test results are positive or negative.
What's life like in quarantine?
Well, I guess it's like any other lazy day when you don't feel well. We're lucky, of course, to live in the age of internet and Wi-Fi. So I have been able to be productive and do some work in between napping. So I am able to get some work done.
As far as the reaction of your community, friends, family, these are very stressful times around the outbreak of COVID-19. What's the reaction been like from them?
Well, I think everyone has been very sympathetic. Both my prayers and the prayers of our community are focused on individuals who are critically ill with COVID-19. Certainly it has been in the news that there are people from our area, who are quite ill. And we certainly, I appreciate everyone's support, but we certainly pray for the recovery of those who are much sicker than I have been.
It's been reported that the mayor of North Adams had contact with you over the weekend that seen him voluntarily remove himself from City Hall. Could you expand a little bit on what exactly you and Tom Bernard did over the weekend that led to those concerns?
Sure. So Mayor Bernard and I attended a sports event and then a couple of social events, fundraiser, in particular Saturday night. The normal things that public leaders do on a day-to-day basis. He has not had any symptoms, as best I know, but because we traveled in the car together, he felt that he should use an abundance of caution and self-isolate until my test results come back.
If you have any message to share as someone who is now caught up in this narrative about COVID-19 and its outbreak, what would that be?
Well, first and foremost, please, you know, do not panic, but continue to use common sense in washing hands, prevention of disease. You know, there's no need to, you know, raid the, you know, the supermarkets and department stores, you know, but we do need to be prepared always, and this is no exception.
That's North Adams, Massachusetts City Council Vice President Jason LaForest speaking with our Josh Landes. And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Be safe, wash your hands, don't touch your face, and stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.